I'll just bask in his presence tonight. Just for the next minute, just bask in his presence. Tonight, we just ask that you continue to saturate us with your presence. God, that your anointing would just flow through this room. Lord, you would speak to the hearts of your young people tonight. Speak to their hearts, Lord. I pray, oh God. Jesus, tonight would be just a step. Step in their service towards you. Lord, we love you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may find your seats tonight. I saw some people who were here last week for the first time, and you came back again, and we are excited for that. I think that is awesome. Amen. You can give them a lot of clap than that. Dear Lord, that's horrible. Hey, don't forget the whole thing about last week, just one. Just to reiterate, guys, if you have just one. Get one friend. Think about that person. As a matter of fact, here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to get on Facebook right when you're done, service tonight. Those of you who have Facebook, hallelujah. If you have Facebook and you are either my friend or Brittany McGee's friend or my wife, do me a favor and just message us a name that we need to pray for. That one friend that you want to reach out to during your school year, that you want to see, man, change forever and saved and all that kind of type of stuff, man. I promise you that God is going to do great things in their life, man. Just make sure that you all Facebook us that name that you want. I mean, I'll throw a reminder out there too. So that's awesome. Anyway, check it out. A lot of people ask me, how in the world can I stay strong? After last week especially, just throughout my years as a youth pastor, I've seen a lot of students come in and it's awesome and they get radically saved and God does something to them at the altars and it's incredible. But then what happens is after like a couple weeks or maybe even 1 week or right after they walk out the doors, everything that they did at the altars, that promise to God, that whole thing kind of goes out the window. And I'm always asked, Pastor Casey, how can I stay Christian? How can I stay saved? It's just difficult for me. And a lot of times people ask that because they know their own personal, they know their strengths. They know that sometimes it's tempting in certain occasions to do certain things. And they know, my gosh, I'm going somewhere this weekend and it's just going to be too tempting. I'm going to go, when I get home, it's going to be too tempting to do this. It's kind of like how I feel every time I walk into a place that sells fried chicken. Amen. I'm like, every single time I walk into a place that sells fried chicken, it's a weakness. Ask my wife. I almost got in an accident because I saw a place called Dixie Fried Chicken. And I crossed across three lanes of traffic just to get to this place, and it was in the middle of the ghetto. Do you guys know the ghetto, the fried chicken scale of ghetto-ness? Do you guys know that? Like if you're in a KFC, if there's a KFC, you're in an okay area. When you go to Popeyes, you know, you're probably not in the best area. If you see like a Kennedy's fried chicken or a Dixie's fried chicken, you're really in trouble. And if you see a Church's fried chicken, your junk better run. Like, no joke. You better get a flak jacket, like some kind of bulletproof vest, or you better have a tank or something. There was a Kennedy fried chicken, I remember, where we used to live in New York, and they had 3 panes of bulletproof glass. In order to give them money, like, your hand had to be a snake. You're like, nah, here you go. And they got to do the same thing. They give you the chicken. It's like this big ordeal to get chicken. I went there one night, and yeah, that was scary. And I'm from, like, listen. And I was like, oh, my heaven, Jesus, help me. And then what was funny is there was this kid in my youth group who was just, he just thought he was the thuggiest thug I've ever seen in my life. He was like, oh, man, nah, son, nah. He was a little white kid, whatever. And then, and he came in, his pants were, like, down to his ankles. He's like, ah, nah, blah, blah. You know, and he lived, like, in a million-dollar home. I'm like, you don't even know how to spell thug, you dummy, you know? And so one day, he just thought he was a man. He just thought he was a man. And it's funny because this has nothing to do with the story, but it's a funny story anyway, and I'm going to tell you. So I went out, whatever, and I remember telling him, I'm like, you know, I'm so tired of your thug fakeness. You know, you're like fake thuggy. And so I'm like, listen, here's what we're going to do. Let me take you out to eat. All right, son. All right. That's cool. I'm like, all right, dude, let's go get some fried chicken. So I took that joker to Kennedy's Fried Chicken at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. He was, oh boy, he was like, oh my gosh. His thugginess, he was like, really? He was like, yeah, so where we going? Where we going? Pastor, yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I got rocked last night, son. You know, all that. And then, like, I pulled in a fried chicken. He's like, yeah, I was like, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, my, I can't even believe where you're taking me. He all of a sudden, he pulled his pants up, and he's like, I'm not going to do this. So I pushed him out the car and then drove away. It was awesome. I did go back to get him after about 3 minutes. I went around the block, but he was in tears. He was all the way by a light pole sitting in. He's like, I'm like, now, let's talk about your thugginess. Anyway, so I'm always asked, how can I stay changed, man? You guys know your weaknesses. You know that there are going to be times where you struggle. You know what I'm saying? So here's the deal. It's real simple. It's one sentence. Ready? It is get off the sidelines. That's it, man. You want to stay different. You want to stay strong. You want to stay saved. Get off the sidelines. Stop being a spectator and start doing. Start being a person that wants to come and get involved in the ministry. I remember, I still cannot roller skate to save my life. At all. Ever. Like, seriously. I can't roller skate. I can't roller blade. I can't skateboard. I can't roller nothing, okay? Even on the Wii, if I'm doing something, I fall. I'm like, I'm like horrible at skating and roller blade. I'm horrible at it. And so I'm like, good. And here's the thing. I was in a roller skating rink from when I was like 10 years old all the way till I was like 18. 8 years, every weekend, just about. I was at a roller skating, or weekday, I was at a roller skating rink. Holiday Lanes, or Holiday Skating Rink, whatever it's called. I don't know, I think it's a church now. But I would go there all the time. And it's ironic that it's a church now, especially from the illustration. Isn't that cool, Charity? Anyway, so I'm out there, right? But I would go every weekend. And guess what? You were not allowed to walk into the place without roller skates. So guess who had to put on roller skates? This joker. But you know what I did? I sat down in the food court the entire time with skates, and this is all I did. The whole time, just rolling, just talking to girls. I'm like, whatever, just trying to mack it up. I'm telling you, in a roller skating rink, 8 years of my life, every week, not one time, not one simple little time did I ever get in the middle of the little skating rink and actually skate. If you were to put skates on me right now, I wouldn't make it 3 inches without breaking my neck. Okay? It is horrible. The same thing goes with church. You could have been in this church for your entire lifetime and still not be saved. You could walk in every single week and still not be saved because you're just sitting on the sidelines and you're not wanting to get involved. You're not wanting to do a thing at all whatsoever. You're content with just sitting down in a seat and coming on a Wednesday or a Sunday, whatever, because your parents bring you, or maybe even your parents bring you tonight, and you think that's enough for you. It is not. It's not enough. You have to be a part. You have to be a servant. You've got to do. It's not enough to just sit down. You've got to get involved. Let me read real quick 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 13. It says, now we're going to talk about, it talks about widows. Let me just kind of get, it talks about a widow. You know, a widow, someone who is married and whose husband is not alive, so they become a widow. Okay, just letting you know what that is. Thank you. Just letting you know, because some people are like, whatever. Anyway, here we go. 1 Timothy 5. No widow may be put on the list of widows, unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Awesome. As for younger widows, listen to this, do not put them on such a list. For when their passions overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle. Everybody say idle. And going about from one house to another. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. And I love it how they throw this in. Some have, in fact, already turned away and follow Satan. Like, that's a hardcore last line. Some have already turned away and follow Satan. It's not like some have turned away and they're struggling. Some have turned away and they're kind of considering Christianity. No, some have turned away and they're following Satan. Ha! Yeah. Okay, a.k.a. some have turned away and now they are going to burn in hell. Awesome. Nice way to say that. Amen. Speaking of burning in hell, I don't know if you saw the little demon on the corner for Torment. Make sure you guys go to Torment, invite people. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, here it is. Ready? Got to go quick. All right. Remember, listen to what the one scripture that it says there. I'm going to talk about this. Number one, point one, keep to your promise. Keep to your promise. Involvement. Involvement, when you get involved in ministry, when you get involved in the youth group, not just sitting down, I'm saying when you get involved, okay, when you become part and say, hey, listen, I want to do this, I want to go there, I want to blah, blah, blah. Involvement in the youth ministry, number one, you're keeping to your promise. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Remember the promise that you made. See, this is talking about a person who had just gotten married or who was married, and it talked about how their passions overcome their dedication to Christ. Their passions overcome their dedication to Christ. And it talks about how it breaks the pledge. It breaks the promise. The promise that some of you all made maybe last week to serve God, maybe a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, a couple years ago, you said, I promise God I'm going to serve you. Maybe some of you, this is what you do. You get involved. And then there are some of you who will not get involved to save your life. You just like coming to play a Wii, hit a pool ball, throw a paddle that's not even making sense, or hang out with your friend. It's one or the other. You know what I'm saying? That's what you like to do. But involvement, you will not do. You will not step foot at a convention. Hello. Hallelujah. Don't know what happened to my voice. Hallelujah. Can we turn that down? All right. Hello. Okay. Anyway, here we go. I just totally lost myself because I heard myself scream in my ear. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hey, have you guys ever done Pinky Promise? Oh, yeah. And you know, and what happens when you pinky, don't you dare break a pinky promise. You know what I'm saying? If I go to my daughters and I'm like, I pinky promise, and I don't do what I promised, they're like, you pinky promised. And it's funny how that carries on to, like, adults. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in there. There's a, like, 60-year-old man. He's like, you pinky promised? Yeah, I pinky promised. Awesome. Next week, did you do it? No. Well, you pinky promised. You pinky promised. And even thugs will do it. You know, thugs will be like, yo, what's up, son? Yeah, what's up? Yo, yo, pinky promise? Yeah, pinky promise, yo. Next week, yo, what's up? Yeah, everything good? Yeah, uh-huh. Yo, did you do that? Nah. Yo, you pinky promise, son! Pinky promise, man, there's a seriousness. I'm gonna create one of those likes on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Is there already one, like a pinky promise one? Okay. Okay, whatever. I'm going to make it. I'm just going to reword it. So pinky promise, man, you guys are all about promises, yet some of you promise Jesus you're going to live for him and serve him, and you dedicate your life to him, but you don't do jack for him. Nothing. You don't do anything for him. You just come and hang out. That's the extent of your job with Jesus. Yet you promise, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. Well, you're not serving and you're not living if you're not doing. Listen to that. You need to make sure that you are involved. Involved. For when their passions overcome their dedication, they want to marry. Many of you have passions. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend is your passion. They're your passion. And that overcomes your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your whatever friend. All of a sudden, that relationship, that passion overcomes your dedication to Jesus. Maybe your passion is a video game. Maybe your passion is music. Maybe your passion is your school. Maybe your passion is something else. I'm not telling you to not go to school. I'm not telling you to not play a video. What I'm saying is you've got to be careful that that passion that you have does not overcome your dedication to Jesus. It cannot overcome your dedication to God. In other words, God comes first with everything. I see too many people skip out on things because they're too busy doing something else. Maybe it's sports. Your passion overcomes your dedication. And man, that's when things get scary. Listen to what it says about an old person. Older, it says old. I'm just not saying. Anyway, listen. They've been faithful to their husband, well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good. I'm not talking about a marriage. I'm talking about a life that is dedicated to God. That says, Jesus, you are my passion. You are my priority. I'm not going to let anything overcome my promise. So I'm going to keep to my promise and I'm going to get involved. So the first thing is getting involved. The next one is involvement will kill worldly desires. In verse 13 it says, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. When I used to hang around the house and watch TV when I was younger, every time, like if I watched TV or we didn't have really video games, we had like ColecoVision and Sega, you know, not like the cool stuff you got now, although it was cool back then, you know what I'm saying? But whenever I would stay in the house, my dad used to come to me and his little Filipino self, and he used to be like, sir, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm watching TV. And then he'd say this, son, idle hands is the devil's playground. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Idle hands is the devil's playground? What is this weird demonic junk you're talking about? And he's like, idle hands is the devil's playground. I never knew what that meant. I just thought he was being dumb. You know what I'm saying? I really did. I'm like, Pop, you're being Filipino right now and over-educated. Just because I'm watching TV does not mean I'm not studying. Although, I was watching TV and I was not studying. Nor did I ever study. And I did watch a lot of TV. But, idle hands was the devil's playground. Listen, here's what he's saying. When you're doing nothing for God, you're doing something for the devil. Listen to that. When you're doing nothing for God, you're doing something for the devil. When you're not worshiping, when you're not reading your word, when you're not living for God, is what I'm trying to say, and getting involved, well, then what are you doing? I'm not saying, like, sports is the devil. I'm not trying to tell you, you know, like, if you throw a football, you're all of a sudden demonic. But what I'm trying to tell you is when that, again, overcomes your dedication, that's where it becomes evil. That's where it becomes evil. And when you're not doing something for God, it's like, it is being idle. You're not doing something to glorify God. You're not doing something to get closer to God. You just basically said, okay, yes, God, I'm going to serve you by sitting down in a seat every week and not getting involved. You need to keep to your promise of salvation to God. Get involved. You need to kill your worldly desires. Kill your worldly desires. Kill them. How do you kill your worldly desires? You starve it. Anything you feed lives. Anything you starve dies. Amen. Anything you feed lives. Anything you starve dies. Ask Selah. I'm not talking about her eating, okay? Ask Selah and ask her about her little sea monkeys. Actually, don't. Because we decided to go away for 3 days at the time that they were supposed to eat. And we came back, and they were all on the bottom. They were dead. Why? Because we starved them. Not purposely, but that's what happened. Or ask Selah about her little lizard that she decided to catch about 3 weeks ago. Selah, she's like, look, Daddy, a lizard. I'm like, awesome, a lizard. And she goes, I'm going to keep them. I'm like, if you keep the lizard, you got to feed the lizard. Okay, Daddy. So for the first 2 days, she would feed it roly-polies. This little tiny roly. She goes, look, it's a bug-a-bug. That's her roly-poly. Then she completely forgot about her little bug-a-bugs and roly-polies and lizard. And then 2 days ago, she goes, Daddy, I think my lizard is sleeping. And that joker was like, ah. It was like, I'm like, that is definitely not asleep. But, you know, we're like, yes, it is. Just anything you starve dies. Anything you feed lives. It's the same thing with your worldly desires. Same thing with your worldly desires. If you're feeding your worldly desires, if you're feeding the things out there that are making you struggle, that are making you sin, if you feed it, it's going to keep living. Don't come to me and say, Pastor Casey, I can't get rid of this sin when you keep feeding it. You starve it. And how do you starve it? By starting to feed something else. You start feeding the things of God. You get involved. You start feeding yourself with worship. Start feeding yourself with reading the word. Start feeding yourself in prayer. Start feeding yourself by getting involved and doing things for God. Make sure you get involved. And the last thing is this, is it keeps you saved. It keeps you saved. First, you keep to your promise. Involvement kills your worldly desires, and involvement keeps you saved. It's as easy as that. Listen to that last statement. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. I would hate for somebody to say that about me. Do you know what I'm saying? I would hate it. Hey, have you seen PC? He hasn't preached. He's not going to Fusion. He's not going on the mission trip. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. He's staying home, and all he's doing is playing his Madden. He doesn't want to get involved at all. Basically, he's following Satan, and he's going to hell. Oh, yeah, awesome. I don't want that to be said about me. Involvement is key in your Christianity. Trust me. Everybody that I've ever seen get super involved in church, and I'm not saying, like, I'm saying, whoever I've seen get involved and say, you know what, I want to do this. I want to go to the conference. I want to do whatever I can. I want to get involved. See, there are a lot of people who get involved in everything at school. Everything at school. Like, you are in every club known to man. You are in glee club, band club, science club, math club. Oh, man, if you're in math club, we need to rebuke that junk now. Math club, like,